This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
On Sundays, we've been trying to not duplicate the same message, but take the same theme, some of the same text. And so I would like to say, and I can honestly say this, that in 22 years, I've never preached the same message. And that's because you just think, well, why? Well, I believe God's highly creative. Now, I've taken the same text, but I haven't preached the same message. In fact, if you come to first, second, and third service on Sunday, you'll find that they can change. And so if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get the same message again, well, one, it'll help you. You know, the gospel is one of the only things that you can repeat. And if you're ever going, oh, I know that. No, you don't. No, you don't. In fact, a friend of mine says, if it's real to you, it's not old to you. If it's real in your life, you're like, no, that's good. I can hear that again. So listen, I've been in doctor's offices where they have five-year-old copies of People magazine and nobody wants to read it. But you ever notice that you can pick up the Bible and day after day, moment after moment, it's still alive, it's still real, the gospel still works. And so listen, don't ever feel like, well, this is repetitive. Actually, it's not going to be repetitive. Whole different message, but same thing. And I've been getting feedback. Some people want me to try this even as we come into the upcoming year. And I can see the value of it. I haven't decided that. I can see the value of it. Here's the value of it. The value of it is we have different crowds for different nights and different days and actually can help us get on the same page. And so as a church, that we're at least going in the same direction on the same page. So tonight, as we're talking, we talked about God's whys and God's ways on Sunday. I'm going to repeat the quote that people lose their way when they lose their why. People lose their way when they lose their why. And so this, we could also say that when people find their way, when they find their why. And so let's talk a little bit about God's whys, and then we'll talk about God's ways. And we'll find that all of them apply to our lives. Here's the why is important. Here's God's big why. This is one of the first verses that a lot of us ever memorize. If you grew up in a Baptist church, you learn this one. In fact, they won't let you out until you learn this one. Which one am I talking about? John 3:16. John 3:16. Y'all didn't grow up, but y'all don't know. So look, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That might be still one of the greatest verses in the Bible because it gives us God's big why. For God so loved the world that God loves people. And that people, is God's why. He so loved the world, he didn't just say, oh, I just love you. He so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now, you can go all kinds of world religions. You can find any kind of religion you want. You will not find a world religion where the God is such a loving God. Most people serve a God who's harsh and cruel. We serve a loving God, a good God. And he so loved us that he gave his son. And some of you, if you're a parent, you know exactly how much that is. I see parents, man, and parents, you are watching for your child. If your child was up here, you were watching. If that was your child, you're just like, oh, there they are. Or don't they look cute? They look awesome. How many of you know if it's your child, that your child can get in trouble and he's just mischievous? The neighbor child down the street is a little hellion is what he is. And so, but if it's your child, it's a whole other story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is God's big why. And God's big why is always going to involve people. And so any time that we get away from that, is we're missing. Church is not just so we can get together, not just so we can sing and worship. Church is a part of the reason we're here is because God loved us enough to send his son. That we're here. This is spawned out of love. And so God's big why is love, and the church's big why is love. But here's God's why in your life is because he loves you. Joy and I have been talking about this lately, and we feel like this might be one of the areas where that probably we need to spend a little bit more time on. It's talking about, and not just you, Joy and I were talking about this, of talking about how much God loves us. I think sometimes people are afraid that if the pastor preaches so much about how God loves us, I heard people say, well, if you preach all that, Alan, it's going to give people a license to sin. People sin without a license. What it does do, though, is it puts something on the inside of us. It puts something in our heart. And regardless of how you were raised, if you were raised in a home where you had two loving parents, you can count yourself among the very blessed. If you were raised in a home where you had one loving parent, you can count yourself among the very blessed. There's a whole lot of people out there that don't know that their parents love them, and so what happens is often they project that on God. And maybe you grew up in a home where you were just kind of a if you were the so-called black sheep of the family, then maybe you were someone that family was kind of disappointed in. And if that's the case, it's very easy for you to take that right over into your relationship with the Lord and feel like God's kind of disappointed in me. If I sat down and talked with most believers, honestly, I'd get more of that than I would, oh no, I'm the one that God loves. I have rarely ever had anyone come to me and go, you know, Alan, I'm God's favorite. But you know what? God's big enough that you can be his favorite, and I can be his favorite, and you can be his favorite. And so realizing how much he loves us, well, that's a healer. That's a heart healer. And if you start there, then when you think about God's plan for your life, you don't think about it in terms of it's going to be bad or it's going to be miserable or that God has a plan. I used to think that if I served God, I was convinced that if I served him, he was going to make me marry a woman I couldn't stand. And he was going to send me to a place I didn't want to go and do something I didn't want to do. Now, I can tell you something. It's the enemy who sells that lie. How many of us didn't come? We're like, oh no, I'm having too much fun to come to the Lord. I'm having too much fun. And when we came to the Lord, we're like, dog, I wish I'd come a lot quicker because I'd have a lot more fun here doing what I'm doing with. I wish we'd have moved quicker. But what we got sold was, we got sold God really doesn't love you. And if you come to him, he is going to mess with your life in a big way. And your days of fun are over. You will live the rest of your life looking like you sucked a sour pickle through the entire. And what we've missed is how much God loves us. And how much his plan for life. And I'll tell you something. I was dating a girl when I was in college. And I thought that was the best I could do. When we broke up, it about broke my heart. Because I thought, huh? That was the best I could ever do. And then I met Joy. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus, that I married this woman and not that woman. And I realized that what happens is we sell God so short because we don't believe he loves us. But the more you begin to believe, no, he really does love me. And so the plan he has for my life, I'll tell you something. I love what I do. I love being a pastor. I've had people look at me and go, oh, I would never, ever want to be a pastor. I'm like, well, don't. But if God called you to do it, it's the best thing in the world. Oh, if I give my life to the Lord, he's going to send me somewhere in Africa or South America. Let me tell you something. The people who are doing missions love it. And they love being there. We got to get this idea out of our head that God's plan for us is horrible because God just really wants to mess with our life. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I can look at any one of you today and you go, Alan, you don't know my life. And I go, well, I don't have to know your background. I don't have to know your life. I don't need to know your failures or what you've been through. I do know this. If you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are his masterpiece and you are his workmanship. And not only that, I can look at you and go, and God has designed you for good works in the days ahead. He's designed something good for you. So it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Here's one of the best things we can do is realizing that you are meant to bring glory and honor to him. You're meant to glory and bring glory to God and honor to him. So I'm not doing such a great job. We're not done yet. We're not done. How many of you look back years ago and you go, oh gosh, I can't believe I did some of those things. But you've grown. Listen, all of us have done things that we're not particularly proud of, but it ain't over till it's over. And this ain't over yet. If you're still breathing, you still have an opportunity to bring glory and honor to God. That means He's equipped you for it. He's built you for it. You have the ability to do it. And so we can do it. And listen, you don't realize how much your life has already probably blessed somebody. Because somebody's been watching you. They're like, dude, I know you. You were bad news. What's happened to you? Don't tell them I started going to church. Well, that's part of it. What happened is you became a new creation in Christ. And when you became a new creation in Christ, he began to change you. And I'll tell you something, he can really change you. And so if you won't give up, the Bible says he won't give up. That's a workable deal right there. He's at work in you to will and do of his good pleasure. And it's good because he loves you. So bring honor and glory to him, and we're to expand his kingdom. So our objective is, we're trying to expand his kingdom. Say, I'm not comfortable witnessing to someone. Well, if you're not comfortable witnessing to them, bring them here. Invite them. You know we're not going to do anything weird. You do know that, right? Is that? We're not going to do anything weird. We're not going to do anything. Listen, I've walked out of churches before where I had to explain a whole lot of stuff. You're not going to have to explain a whole lot of stuff. We're going to love you in the parking lot. We're going to smile at you when you come in. We're going to take good care of your kids. You're going to have a wonderful time. You're going to listen to a band better than any band you ever listened to live growing up. And you get a chance to worship him. And when you leave, and then you hear good news, and it only lasts an hour. Yes. And it's free, unless it's commitment Sunday or Wednesday. Come on now. We ought to be happy about that. We got something. So you invite your friends. Listen, we got a great inviting time coming up. We've got Christmas coming up. We've got next Sunday coming up. You can invite them to that? Because here's the deal. You don't know what's going on in their life. You may be thinking, well, they have their whole life together. I'm kind of messed up, but they have their whole life together. Everybody's messed up. We just have different levels of messes. Oh, you don't think? Oh, is this the sanctified crowd here? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the Sunday people. This is Wednesday night. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I missed that. Everybody, no one's perfect, but you can invite them because we were meant to honor and glorify God, and we were meant to expand His kingdom. God's into kingdom expansion. He is not into going down. And listen, by the way, you think, well, the church in the United States is not doing that. Church worldwide is exploding. And the church worldwide is reaching people left and right. And people are coming into the kingdom left and right. And this is still the only institution that's going to outlast every government, every business, everything. It's what's going to work. When we get to heaven, you won't be coming by my mansion going, what about Enron? What about Enron? They're gone. But the kingdom of God still keeps going on. Who'd have ever thought, guys, that Sears and Roebuck would file for bankruptcy? For those of us who grew up with them, they were the Amazon of their day. We're thinking, Sears is here forever. No, they're not. Now they're in chapter 11. But God's kingdom, never going to chapter 11. Never gonna run out. God's not gonna walk up and go, wow, we got a shortage here. It's not going to happen. Good kingdom, and we're part of expanding that. So God's why is He loves you. God's why in your life is He loves you and has a plan for you. God's why for the Ark Church. Hebrews 11:7. For those of you who don't know the story, this is how the Ark got its name. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. That's why we're here, right there. This church was started because God loves this area. I'm sorry, you think I'm bragging? I'm not bragging, I'm telling the truth. This church started because God loves this area. You say, well, you're not reaching everybody. No church can reach everybody, but I'll tell you what, we can do our part. And he loved this area. And so he said, I'm going to start a church in this area. Who's going to do it? And me and Joy went, had a choice, Lord. Switzerland or Conroe? I'm taking Conroe. I like Conroe. Here we go. And he started this because he loves this area and he wants to reach people in this area. And we got that name for the saving of households. I won't ask for testimonies, but there have been households who were lost and have come in and have gotten saved here, and marriages that have been put back together, and families that have gotten straightened out, and bodies that have gotten healed, and good things, because God loves people and he loves this area. Some of you are thinking, well, if God loves me so much, how come I didn't get a better pastor? I do. Well, just listen, be grateful for what you've got and pray for me. I could get better. Ooh, y'all need to lighten up tonight, Aaron. The whole reason we're building a building, this will be the second time we built a building. And the only reason we're building a building was because a church is a tool that God uses to reach people, and we're building to be better equipped to be used by God to reach people. Period. Period. We're just better equipped to do what God's called us to do. I shared Sunday that the statistics on churches are that many of them don't make it to the 10th year and that they go into decline by the 15th year. And so we're in our 22nd year. And we have it. So, how do you know God's bigger than statistics? I'm just saying stats because I'm having a hard time saying statistics tonight. He's bigger than analytics. He's bigger than that. Listen, just because the average is that doesn't mean we have to go back. I really believe the best, most productive days of our church are still ahead of us. Amen. And as we're reaching, you know why? Because as a church, we're getting stronger and you're getting stronger. Yes. And as you get stronger, the church gets stronger. And the church gets stronger, you get stronger. This is a life cycle and it builds. And we're reaching people. And people are coming in from all walks of life and all backgrounds. Aren't you glad that it doesn't matter who you meet, you can bring them in here? This thing I love about the church, you could bring the president of the company and you could bring the guy who sweeps up after everyone's gone, and both of them are going to be welcome here, and both of them can come. And that's what we're going to continue to do. God has a big why. We have a big why. So that's the big why. Let's talk a little bit about God's ways. And I want to just highlight a story where Jesus asked 10 lepers. Now, what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to move through it pretty quickly. But let's read this out of Luke, the 17th chapter. Now, on his way, this is on Jesus' way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Talking about the Samaritan. Then he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." It's a wonderful story, but in this, we talked about God's ways. In this, we see some of God's ways here. Remember we said that they were asking for mercy. These 10 men called out. They said, "Jesus, have mercy on us." That mercy is an active word. It really is, it's a word that defines God, that he is merciful. It's one of his attributes. In Psalms, the 136th chapter is a verse that is a passage that just talks about the mercy of the Lord. It said, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever." If you read that whole psalm, he continues to go. He said, "Who formed the heavens and the earth, for his mercy endures forever." And it begins to liken all the things that God did, who rescued us from our enemies, because his mercy endures forever. And it realizes that God is merciful. That was who he is. And when these 10 men, they were lepers, they had out sores on their body that just covered their body. It started to eat away at their body. They often, you see lepers, they're missing noses, they're missing ears, appendages. It's a slow death. And it isolates you from everybody around you because it's contagious. And so here are these lepers, they're crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And Jesus asked them to do something. And when he asked them to do something, it sounds weird because he asked them to go see the priest. That's a Jewish thing. Jewish law said if you're a leper and you are healed, you're cleansed, if you go to the priest can declare you clean. But you didn't go to the priest and go, look, I've still got these spots and sores. And he would go, you're not clean. And they would quarantine you. So when Jesus told 10 men with leprosy, go show yourselves to the priest, you think to yourself, that's kind of a head scratcher. Jesus, why are you asking them to do that? But here's the deal. Remember, God loves us and he's merciful. I don't believe Jesus was mocking these men. I don't believe he was teasing them. Jesus was very cautious of his words. And so he didn't just, with Jesus, you would never have Jesus go, just say it. We say that, not him. So he looks at these guys and goes and says, go show yourselves to the priest. Well, they could have backed up right then and said, wait a minute, go show yourself to the priest. That's not even fair. Jesus, that's not right. But we'll remember, listen, Jesus was mercy incarnate. He was merciful. So what he asked them to do, he didn't ask them to do something they couldn't do. A lot of times people think, well, God's going to ask me to do something that I just simply can't do. No. He didn't ask us to do something that we're unable to do. But here's the deal. He did ask them to trust him. He gave them just a simple directive. Go show yourself to the priest. Well, they could have looked at one another and went, dude, we can't go to the priest. Because you still don't have a nose. And I ain't got ears. And Bubba here ain't got no lips. Because it just eats away. And so if we go to the priest, they're going to send us back. Maybe we should ask Jesus again. Jesus, heal us, and then we'll go to the priest. But that's not how Jesus operates. And that's not how God operates. Here's the thing. We always take a step of faith, a step of believing, to come to a place of seeing and feeling. I was raised in church. I knew about salvation. I knew I needed the Lord in my life. And walking across a field in Carbondale, Illinois, I bowed my head. I said, Jesus, I ask you to be the Lord of my life. I'd never seen Jesus die on the cross for me. I didn't see the empty tomb. I'd only heard a message. I chose to believe it. But when I did believe it, a change took place in my life. And the Bible said I became, Jesus used the term born again. We use the term new creation. But something transpired on the inside of me and I was changed. I couldn't tell you exactly how. I could tell you this. I made the choice to believe that, and that's how I came. That's how a lot of you made decisions for Christ. Maybe you prayed a prayer in here. Maybe you lifted your hand. Maybe you said, I pray that. Or you prayed with someone else. Or maybe you bowed your head in your car one night and prayed and asked. But you didn't see Jesus. You didn't feel Jesus. You heard a message. You believed the message. And you stepped out and said, I believe that. And it changed your life. And it changed the course of your family. And things began to change because you made the step of believing. If we started our relationship with God that way, that's how we continue it. We don't wait and say, Lord, show me, and then I'll believe. We say, Lord, you've told me. I'm going to go ahead and step out and believe you right now. You see, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And the more we understand that that's God's way, the more it makes it easier. Because a lot of times people, man, they'll make a decision. Yes, I received Jesus. Yes, I've been born again. And then they go into the, I'm going to sit and wait until something changes around me. And yet the Bible gives us instructions. It's still giving us faith directives. Here's one right here, Philippians 4:4, that says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, that's something where you could go, well, if things will get better in my life, I might rejoice. If those 10 guys had done that, they wouldn't have been healed. What did they do? They stepped out, God stepped in. Maybe if you rejoiced before you saw things get better, they would. You say, well, that's not fair. Remember, God's mercy endures forever. This is his way. I realize we all have been taught, I'm gonna believe it when I see it. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. People act like that's a scripture. It's not. It's not. And these 10 guys, so what happened to these 10 guys? They looked at one another. They went, well, he said, go show yourself to the priest. What have we got to lose? And as they went, they met the power of God right there on that road and walked to, and man, could you imagine those guys? They're shuffling. Maybe they're shuffling. All of a sudden they're walking. They're like, ooh, I'm walking. Because I got a leg again. This is good. Look at Bubba. He's got a full set of lips. And they're rejoicing. Man, but as they went, they were healed. Listen, as you rejoice, things begin to change. Remember Jesus said, give and it will be given. I was like, well, you'll give to me. Then I'll, no, no. We got it backwards. God's way. God's way is we take a step of believing to come to the place of knowing. We take a step. Do you catch that? We take a step. And that's His way. And that's how we operate. So if you've been frustrated going, God, do something, God, do something, God, do something, let me help you with that. Let me tell you one of the best things you could do. Thank you, Lord, that you've heard my prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing something. And before I ever see it or feel it, I believe that you love me. I believe you're working on my behalf. I believe good things are. Oral Roberts made people mad when he said something good is going to happen to you. Made the whole Christian world mad. Unbelievers didn't care, but the church world got mad. How can you say something good is going to happen? Because we believe God's good, and we believe He has good things for us, and we believe He exists. And not only does He exist, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So I don't have to wait to see something good. I can rejoice ahead of time, because that's how it works with God. We rejoice ahead of time. You don't have to listen. Listen, for those of you who deal with depression, I have dealt with depression. Don't wait until everything lifts before you start to lift your voice and give Him thanks and praise. You can bust out of a lot of depression just by going, Lord, I want to thank you and rejoice that I don't have to live this way for the rest of my life with a dark cloud hanging about my head. Yes. So, Alan, you know, when it lifts, I'll rejoice. How about if when I rejoice, it will lift? And that's God's way. I realize I just condensed a seminar into about 10 minutes. But I just want you to think about that. Think about this phrase. We take a step of believing to come to the place of knowing, of seeing and feeling. That's what you did when you got saved. And that's the way it works in the rest of our life with Him. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Paul wrote the church at Rome. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He says it's the power of God to salvation to them that believe. For the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. We live with a different citizenship. We live with a different setting. We're not limited to simply what we see and feel around us. We believe God. We believe He's real. We believe He helps us. We believe He's alive. We believe He lives in us. We have an advantage, and we can live that way. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came and you said, Alan, I've never made that step of confessing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I want to do that. Or maybe you're like I was, you got away from God. And in your heart right now, you know, I need to come back to Him. You don't have to wait for a sign. You don't have to wait for anything else. The choice is yours, and you can make that tonight. We're going to say a very simple prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one moving around. If that's you tonight and you say, Alan, I want to come back to the Lord or I want to receive Him for the very first time, I want to take that step of faith. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up just across this auditorium and say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, hands have gone up all over. Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. All right, we're going to do this. We're going to pray. You can put your hands down. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. Listen, you can still. This is a heart thing. We're going to pray with you. I want you to pray it out loud so you can hear yourself. Pray. We're going to pray with you. You're not by yourself. We're all going to pray as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, is the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My sins are forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want us to do one thing. We haven't done this as a church, but I just want us, just as a way of saying, we believe that. That there are some people who made that decision tonight. We believe they've stepped out of darkness into His marvelous light. We believe they've come back home. So we're rejoicing with them. Let's just give them a hand clap. We welcome them as they've come back here. We're going to pray for you. Father, thank you for all of those that prayed that prayer, for those that came back to you, for those that received you for the very first time. And Father, thank you for the rest of us. Thank you that so many things are available to us. And as we walk out trusting you, trusting your word, Father, thank you. Good things are happening, and we rejoice ahead of time for that. So, Father, we're just grateful for that, for all that you've done, all that you're doing. Thank you that our best days are ahead of us as a church. Our best days are ahead of us, period, as individuals, as families, because we believe you're good, and we believe you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. So we step into the future with confidence, knowing that you're there. We give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.